Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference. Well, hello, hello. Happy New Year. Happy 2020. Melina Boswell here, co-founder of New Wealth Advisors Club. And I can hear my voice is, you can tell it's January because my voice is dry and nasally. And so I apologize if that's bugging anybody. It's bugging me more, trust me. So so today, we wanted to talk about New Year's resolutions. I mean, how could we not, right? It's 2020, and it feels like, you know, on every social media, every email I get, it is something about welcome in, you know, 2020, Happy New Year. People are still saying Happy New Year to me, and I just feel like, it's just so, I don't know. So I made a post, and I was actually writing about it because one of my commitments for 2020 was to share more of myself, like share more of me. And in that is a commitment to social media. And of course, as the year was ending, it seemed like a no-brainer. Oh, you have to write about, you know, New Year's resolutions. And so the title of my post was, I hate New Year's resolutions. Because that's the truth. Because what about New Year's resolutions is good, you know? To me, I feel like in many ways, New Year's resolutions are almost a way to set yourself up for failure. Because it's like you, it's obligatory. Well, it's the new year, so I have to make some resolutions. And so I actually looked up the word resolution in the dictionary to see if I could justify or somehow get some clarity about what resolutions is. And some of the words were really good. So purposeful, intentional, and with aim, right? That's what a resolution can be. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I can get behind that, you know? And because I was saying it feels so inauthentic and fake to be like, here's my New Year's resolution. And
how many of them actually come true?
Never. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. There's like the never-ending joke for those of us that are, you know, consistent gym goers for 20 years. You know, like January through, like January is like the worst time at the gym because everybody's there. And you're like, I just want February to get here because the gym will be back to normal again. It's true, you know? So that's, I guess that's why it's so, it feels inauthentic and forced and obligatory. And so I was like, I don't even want to write a post about, you know, resolutions. And so when I started reading about what they are, I was like, I can get behind that. Excuse me, sorry. And what are the things that we need to do to actually make resolutions if they're intentional? And then there is something really beautiful and empowering about a clean start. You know, like it's the new year. And so what are my commitments? What are the things that I'm going to do and goal setting? And I think, you know, I look back at my life, especially my professional life and how we created a business out of nothing, you know, out of nothing but sheer work and blood, sweat, and tears. And we did set goals. You know, we did set real goals. And the truth is, without writing them down, they will never, ever happen. They just will not. And so then it became a habit of Dave and I. We set our goals every single year, and we set company goals and then also personal goals. And we were really good about writing things down and then holding each other accountable to those commitments. And so I think you can't really have resolutions without changing habits. Ultimately, that's what it all comes down to is setting habits. And they say a habit is created in how many days? What's the... 21 days. So you have to do something for 21 days before it becomes a habit. So it'll be interesting. This podcast is dropping right around the end of January. And my question to all of you listening is, where are you on your New Year's resolutions? Have they become a habit yet? Right? So how about for you guys? Did you set New Year's resolutions? Did you set goals? Did you set commitments to yourselves? What did everybody, because I don't think we even talked about this together. So who wants to share?
Christian, I know you have goals.
Yeah,
sure.
Christian.
I'll you know, it's funny. I saw your post, Melina, and I connect with it too, because I think so many people, they make resolutions, and in the past, what I always saw my parents do and family members, I was like, my New Year's resolution is not to drink Coke this year or to drink soda, right? Uh-huh. Like things like that. And I've really never have made resolutions. I've always definitely been more towards goal setting, mm-hmm. and, you know, breaking it down just like, you know, you and Dave, with business, financial, spiritual, mm-hmm. family. And I've seen a lot of growth from my 2015 goals to the goals that I'm setting now. And it's really cool to look back to see, you know, how far I've come and the types of goals that, you know, like I just said, that I was making back in the day. So I would recommend everyone to definitely be more goal focused rather than just like resolutions. Unless you actually put resolutions down on paper and you're seeing it, like you post it on your mirror and you see it every day, I think that's when you can actually make some big changes.
So that actually makes them goals, right? When you write them down. So, yeah. And I think that's the big difference, that historically for me, resolutions were like, okay, I think I'm gonna attempt this, right? Knowing full well that, blah, it was just lip service.
This year, right? I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week.
Right.
Right.
Or I'm going to work out twice a day. Yeah. Yeah, not so much. That's never going to happen, right? I don't have the luxury of time. For me, like Christian, the personal goal side of things, I have them, but not necessarily my focus, right? They take care of themselves as I take care of my business goals. Because my business goals allow me to achieve those personal things, right? Mm-hmm. So they kind of go hand in hand. So if anybody out there is like setting, hey, I have my personal, and you try to divide them, there has to be a link. Mm-hmm. There's a link between those two, because, you know, we talked a little bit about this before, about, you know, relationships matter, all these things that matter and influence everything that you do. So you can't separate those goals.
No, that's right.
As much as you want to try to do that,
that's
right?
That's exactly right.
You can't, because they're all intertwined. They combine really well. So my big thing is, let me focus on company and business goals and achieve those things, because that gives me the luxury to do the other things that I plan to do. So,
I think for me, I mean, I always had New Year's resolutions up until about 4 years ago.
You know? You're welcome.
Because, I mean, one of the other sides for me was the feeling of not being properly educated on how to set goals. Mm-hmm. You know, because I talk to people now, new members of the community coming in, hey, what's your goals for 2020? And, you know, then I'm redirecting them in the way that now I've been trained to say, they have to be SMART goals. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you organize your goals? Because just saying, hey, I want to become a full-time real estate investor by 2021, it's not really a goal. I mean, it is, but it's not. It's still a dream, because nobody's backed into, this is how I now need to achieve my goals. So, sure, I've done the gym, I've done the quit smoking, the healthy eating, the everything, and, you know, one's nicknamed Gary Give Up, because I would give up very, very quickly, you know, and, you know, it's, so now my goals are very focused, you know, and being able to sit through some of the classes that we've done, you know, with Nathan, talk about SMART goals, talk about...
Why don't you identify SMART goals? Can you break down the acronym?
No, I can never remember the acronym. Specific... Mm-hmm. Measurable, mm-hmm. Attainable, reasonable. Is it reasonable?
Can be realistic.
Realistic and time-based.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
There you go. Well done.
So my goals look a lot better this year. Let's just put it that way. But, you know, so yeah, I get the whole idea of New Year's resolutions. We all want to change things going forward. It's kind of that cutoff time. And for me, I've been, you know, if I'm really honest, I've kind of put things off this last week, waiting for the first Monday of the year. I've still been working, I've still been doing my things, but, you know, I have my rhythm register, things that I want to do, you know, organized, and I don't know, I'm kind of, you know, is it the OCD that says it has to start on Monday?
Yeah.
It has to start on Monday.
Funny.
So today was the first day, and I didn't get out of bed early enough today, so.
So you already failed.
I already failed, yeah. My New Year's resolution is out the window, because I was so tired from a long weekend, and I stayed up too late last night and didn't get out of bed early enough to work out. There you go.
There you go. That's
real. Way to own it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
One of the biggest things I think that I took from Nathan with goal setting is that you don't want to set yourself up for failure, right? Mm-hmm. So if... like picking your goals and picking the things that you want to do, I think they need to be realistic. It's so important that they're realistic. Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to quit, here's a tip that I've started doing recently too. But if you just journal and you write down where you're actually at, mm-hmm. when you seriously it gets foggy, you lose sight of where you are when you start. But if you journal that and you write that down, when you're halfway through, you can look back at your journal and realize, even when you feel like there's been no improvement, you can actually tell how much you've improved and where, you know. So I think it's really important to document your journey. Mm-hmm. Because you will actually have more improvement than you think. And it keeps you from, like, crashing and burning.
Yeah.
Like, you just fall apart when you feel like you haven't, you know, accomplished
achieved
the goal.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's important, like John said, quit smoking or wake up early. But I think you should put actual, like back into the actual days that you want to not smoke for. Maybe, like, I don't know,
if you were going to... I think smoke enders, I think that's the best probably, right? You know what smoke enders is, huh, Johnny? Do you know what it is?
Smoke unders?
No, smoke enders.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I'm sure it's not one of your goals, but it's an interesting thing because my dad was like a 2-pack-a-day smoker for 40 years. And so for him to quit was no joke. And so he joined a group called Smoke Enders. I don't even know if they're still around. And the whole thing about, and that's how my dad quit smoking. And here's all it is. It's all about recording what you smoke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's all about writing stuff down. And so that's what he did. And he had this little notepad that he would carry with him. So it wasn't, hey, quit smoking or do whatever. It was more about habit tracking.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's what got him to quit smoking. So he made goals like, I smoke 40 cigarettes today, so I'm going to go for 38, right? And then would write down every single cigarette that he smoked. And it just over – and I think it took him a few months, right, to where – but he was really, really consistent in writing down every single thing that he did. And that's what actually got him to quit smoking forever.
It's like it's a journey. Even if, I could just imagine going through that process. Like, let's say one day you're smoking X amount of cigarettes, and then the next day you smoke a little bit more. So you feel like you've failed but – if you record them at a certain point, you're almost always progressing.
You
always
are.
Get better. It's motivating.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think so much of it is just awareness?
Mm-hmm. It is. And, we talk about goals. We talk about New Year's resolutions. Whatever they are, it's something that, for me, it doesn't just happen instantly. Mm-mm. You can't just flick off the light switch say, this is what I'm now going to do. Mm-hmm. I the idea of quitting smoking, cold turkey, I'm not going to smoke ever again, versus... Well, what if I use, the idea of the compound effect and say, just work it backwards?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to smoke a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less.
Right.
No different from trying to achieve your goals of, hey, I want to speak to 5 homeowners this week, and then I want to speak to 10 homeowners by 3 months down the line.
Right.
It's all goal attainable. It's just, recording it, journaling it, things that, I never wrote a journal until this last year. And then starting to journal really does help you identify what it is you've been doing, because if you just flow through life, you don't even realize you've actually been doing things that you wanted to do or didn't do.
It's absolutely true. I can tell you one of the most powerful techniques that I've done, it's really funny, is I'm a big journaler, I write down everything. But something that I started actually last month, and this was based on a new journal that I got, a calendar journal kind of thing. And it was, you have your month, an overview of your month, and then your week, day by day. So kind of, honed in a little bit more. And then it asks you very specific questions, what are you doing today? What are today's wins? What are your goals today? And then it really forces you, it asks you a couple of questions every single day through the week. And then when you get to the end of the month, it has your month in review. So when I got on December 31st, all right, I was in bed, just anyway. So, and so I was preparing my January, right? And it was like, I got to review I've never done this before. I've never reviewed the previous month as I was preparing for the next month. And so the first thing was, hey, how did I think that the month went? And my initial thing was I sucked. Right, because I had certain goals and I had I wanted to have my financial fitness class. I wanted to have the overview done. So that was all I could think about is the one goal that I did not meet. And so, but then as I looked back at my journal for the month of December, I was like, well, shoot, I actually had some pretty big wins. Mm-hmm. I actually got my financial coaching certification on the 8th of December. I was in Hawaii in December.
Mm-hmm.
We rewrote DPA and foundations. There was a lot of big things that we did that I totally forgot about. And I would have not given myself credit for them had I not looked and gone through the month in review. So it really does go back to writing stuff down and being aware. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess I didn't suck. I guess it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But my nature was to look at the one thing I failed in, mm-hmm. you know, or the one goal I didn't achieve.
You said awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually just really struck me. But do you ever realize, like, when you have, there's something in your life that you're not happy with, or you're not content with, like, let's just say finances, mm-hmm. like money. You ever realize when you're not, if you don't want to deal with that, like, you know, or if you're not at a place where you're ready to deal with it, you just ignore it. Mm-hmm. You ignore debt collectors. You don't look at your bank statement, like, hit no, I don't want to see a receipt on the ATM, or like, you know. So if
because I don't want to see the balance,
right? When you're, but it's because you're not aware. It's because you don't want to deal with it, and it's. Mm-hmm. I think awareness is the main thing with anything you want to change. Is yep. just being aware of it and conscious of the progress and where you're at with it. You know, always trying to make changes. Like, mm-hmm.
yeah, habits. Take ownership of mm-hmm. it. Take ownership of what it is that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we talk about resolutions being intentional, purposeful, and with aim, doesn't that sound like a goal?
Yeah. Sounds like we need a smart resolution. So.
Mm. Go ahead. Get back in the mic, yeah.
No, I was just saying that it sounds like a smart resolution, right? Mm. I mean, if you're going to make a resolution, we should make them smart. Mm-hmm. You know, make them, you know, attainable.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Because I think we keep on saying smart, but I think
specific,
it's so good.
Uh-huh. Make them measurable, make them attainable. Make them realistic and make them time bound. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I had one of my students, you know, I try to meet with people I'm mentoring. I open up the opportunity to go through their year goals, right? So I was meeting with one of my students and she said, I want to lose 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, how is that a smart goal? Mm-hmm. And she was like, you don't think I can lose 50 pounds? And I was like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
But not like, gonna happen.
I was like, no, I know you can. So I actually backed into it, right? Like, you know, so you want to lose it by, I think it was, she gave herself 3 months to do it. And so.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, right. So I kind of backed into it, you know? I was like, here's the truth, you know, in order to lose 50 pounds, let's back into it, right? So I took it all the way down. Christians, are you doing the math right now? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because that's
yeah.
exactly what I did. And that's exactly what I did is I opened up the calculator. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 50 pounds, go ahead. What did you find out?
Well, is that 4 a day?
50 pounds divided by 12 weeks, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So she has to lose 4 pounds a day.
A week.
Yeah. Oh. Right. Yeah. Which isn't very attainable. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. Exactly. So we backed into it where, you know, we got her down to 6 months. Right.
Yeah.
So when she was like, yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. 1.5 to 2 pounds a week. And she was like, oh, and I was like, now let's go even further because how many calories are in a pound? Right. So you have to burn an additional 3,500 calories in order to lose 1 pound. So when you start thinking
you know
about
how hard that is, that's a lot.
That's what I'm saying. So that's when you start thinking about it, you're like, holy cow. Yeah. So you're like, oh, I'm just going to lose 50 pounds. Well, let's back into how that's even a possibility.
Right.
Right. And it is. It's fully attainable, but we had to make the smart goal. Mm-hmm. So now it's like if you want to, you need to burn an additional 3,500 calories for the week in order to lose 1 pound. Mm-hmm. So how can we attain that? Mm-hmm. Right. So it is by exercising and also for intaking less. Mm-hmm. Right. So whatever that looks like.
And
so
700 calories a day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like between the two.
Yeah, exactly. So get rid of 700 calories for the day and you will absolutely attain that goal. And it's a guarantee it'll work. Mm-hmm. And you don't need special pills. You don't need anything. It's just, it's such a basic. That's what I always tell people, you know, we know the formula for losing weight. It's just take in more, less than you burn. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And if you fail a couple times in 6 months, you'll still be down 35 pounds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And how much better off are you?
And it's a mindset. It's a different, mm-hmm. different habits and different mindset. You're conscious of it, aware of it all the time. And actually, after maybe 2 weeks of following that, it becomes like a normal calculation in your head on mm-hmm. what you eat. You like don't you won't eat certain meals, or you know you kind of count calories in your head. So.
Hi, this is Christian Rios. As many of you know, I have been a member of New Wealth Advisors Club for over 7 years and got started when I was 17 years old with absolutely no real estate experience. One of the biggest lessons I have learned from being in the industry is the need for authentic relationships. If you're looking for an actual team locally in Southern California with all the resources needed to close deals, register for one of our free workshops by visiting www.joinnwac.com. Thanks for listening to the Flippin' Off podcast.
It becomes like a normal calculation in your head on what you eat. You like don't you won't eat certain meals, or you kind of count calories in your head. So
somebody said that to me yesterday morning, actually. Somebody at the club, there was, oh, I think it was it was Frank's Burrito. Remember? And Sandy said, yeah, I think, you know, you won't eat that. And what did she say? Because you're on a diet. That's what she told me, or something. She said something like that. And I started laughing and I was like, what do you mean? And she said, well, you don't eat that kind of food. And I said, well, I'm not on a diet. That is my way of being. That is just my way
lifestyle.
Of being. It's my lifestyle. I don't eat chorizo, yeah. Right? I love chorizo. And it's not like I won't eat it ever, but I just, in my regular, you know, habits of the way that I eat, I don't eat them. And so from her perspective, she's like, yeah, you don't really eat that. And I was like, no, I don't.
Right.
Not because I'm on a diet, just because that's my lifestyle.
Exactly.
Because I lost 100 pounds 25 years ago. Yep. I ain't never putting 100 pounds back on.
Diets suck anyway.
What?
Diets suck anyway. They're hard.
Yeah.
When it becomes a lifestyle change, it's... Mm-hmm. It's
well, it became a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And what keeps coming to my mind that I want to share is, you know, whether it's losing weight or like business, we have to create... the little wins, the little rewards. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I like creating little carrots. Like if I'm working hard these amount of days, I want to take one day off and just completely enjoy it. Or 3 months, take a vacation. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for your mentee, if she has a favorite meal, like be okay with
cheat day,
you know, a cheat day in 2 weeks, or like, because it is a lifestyle. Because mm-hmm. then in 6 months, if she loses that and then goes back to
her old way,
the old ways, and it's all for nothing. So mm-hmm. she has to get on a diet that she likes, that the food she likes, blah, 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 you know?
Exactly.
So it just comes down to lifestyle. And for me, and everyone listening, it's definitely like create little carrots for yourself so you can, you know, focus right now on what you have to do, but you also have something that you're looking to definitely get.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because it's the carrot, right? It's the carrot or the stick.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say from the carrot perspective, mm-hmm. the other mindset on that, sometimes people will say, like, get up and make your bed first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. right? Because it's the first win of the day, and mm-hmm. it kind of starts you on a winning pattern for that day. So you have a win, and then you have these little tiny wins all the way through. And for me, a resolution is like at the beginning of the year, it's the first loss of the day, or it's the first loss of the year, right? Because by day 21, I've already failed, or by Monday of on day one, I woke up too late and I actually didn't do what I had resolved to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is in the way that I'm thinking about it is like, you know, people will say, get up and just have little small wins, mm-hmm. and make sure those wins are small. Like when you do the SMART goals, you break it down. Today, I cut out 450 calories. That's a huge win for
Absolutely.
Somebody who's aiming towards 3,500 calories a week.
Mm-hmm.
And taking those wins every day as well. You know, personally, I've only ever succeeded at one New Year's resolution, and that's when I resolved to never make a New Year's resolution again.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Josh and I.
When did you do that?
I don't know, 15 years ago. We were like, we should just resolve to never do that again. We never have.
Isn't it? Like, I was thinking about all the years back before. I never did a resolution.
Really?
Because it seemed like if there's something you don't want to accomplish, make it a resolution. I mean, because of the environment that we're in, we're all goal-oriented. Each one of us supports us in reaching those goals, so we don't use the word resolution. Like, I was thinking, like, we used to joke about people making resolutions. Like, let's see how far it gets into. It was literally just a joke. It was never real. And that was almost the expectation, like, that you would fail. I was like, almost like So-and-so said they're not going to eat off the lunch truck in the morning anymore, and they're going to skip the breakfast burrito. How much you want to bet, you know, Friday he's going to be on that burrito. Said, oh, it's good this week. I'm going to get a burrito. And, like, I feel like we had, you know that movie Deadpool? I think we had, like, we would bet the fat guy right there. He's gonna eat that. Look, he's getting the burrito. I told you, man. Look, he's trying to sneak it. He just got it under his shirt. Well, I'm not kidding. Pay up, pay like, up. I was thinking back. I was like, that's why, in my mind, when I think of resolutions, like, hell no, I can't do a resolution. That's like, we know that you're going to fail. So mm-hmm. when you think of it, it's just so negative because mm-hmm. it's an American tradition of failure. Mm. Like how your friends, especially in a work environment where you're punching a clock, there's nothing else to do but joke about people's resolution. So I was just thinking like, I never did a resolution because it was a joke. Mm. Nobody keeps their resolutions, especially absolutely. In that environment, the punching your clock environment. It's like, yeah. you know, it's a joke. But, and I was thinking like, this is a completely different environment and a mm-hmm. different conversation mm-hmm. because each one of us sets goals. We keep each other accountable. If you say you're going to do a resolution, it's like, what's that? We've had goals all year. Like that's not even a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking like people that aren't in this environment and they're in a job and everybody's at a job. There's resolutions, like it's a tradition. Mm. And the running joke is how long is so-and-so gonna not eat off the lunch truck? We're gonna see him out there for sure. And then he's gonna hide the fact that he actually did it. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, until your post, mm-hmm. I was just sitting here thinking, it's like, I don't remember even thinking about resolutions. Mm. It's been so long.
Wow.
Right, it's like, until your post, I was like, oh yeah, there people do that, huh?
Yeah, that came up. It was like, hey, it's, you know, this is part of your commitment is, you know, posting content, right, on social media. So it's the new year. So that seems like the most, you know, I was like, oh, dude, I just want to, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. hate it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We all know somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So
every year they right. say the same things. Like,
so what's the takeaway from today's conversation about resolutions?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the real takeaway is don't focus so much on maybe like one outcome rather than just changing your habits to get there. Mm. You know, actually little day-to-day things that you do will eventually get you to that place. Like you said, when you lost 100 pounds, mm-hmm. it wasn't like you set a goal. It no. wasn't, you didn't do it. You literally just changed your life and started doing things differently. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's the only way I've ever been able to make anything work. When I like go after something, it's because I changed my daily habits. I changed those habits to get there, and I haven't found another way. So
no, there isn't another way. Habit. So they say it takes 21 days to create a habit, and how many days to break a habit? 21 days. Is it 21? Yeah.
To break that?
To break it? I thought it was more.
I was always under the impression that it takes a total of 42 days. That's the way I've always understood
it. Oh, got
it.
Okay.
21 days to break the old habit while you're taking on the new habit, mm-hmm. and then 21 days to actually make the new action a habit.
Mm-hmm. What? How many hours does it take to master something?
If you listen to Malcolm Gladwell, it's 10,000 hours.
Yeah, and I think it's closer to 20. Honestly, I think you don't really become a master and you know at your craft until 20,000. And that craft doesn't have to be, you know, what you think it is. It's literally anything. Anything. It's a habit is a craft, you know. And so everything you do, you got to put the time into it right. to get, you know, to be able to be a master at it.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the takeaways today is if you did set a resolution, it's now about looking to change it to a SMART resolution, SMART goals. Actually look at how you're implementing those changes to get to where it is that you wanted your resolution to be.
Mm-hmm. Write it down. SMART goals. You guys, if you're listening to this, write it down. Johnny, say it one more time so they know. SMART goals.
SMART goals. Yes, yeah, SMART is an acronym, so SMART. So go ahead. Oh, Christian.
My takeaway, it just came to me.
Oh, you left them hanging. What? Say it. Don't say the dang SMART goal.
It's SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound.
Yeah.
Write
so
it down.
If you can't write down your goal and back in and make it answer every one of those questions, then it's not a SMART goal.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Then it's a dream.
I got like tunnel vision of what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So what came to me is it everything always starts with the why. You know, what's your motive behind whatever you want to achieve? And the quote that came to me is, you know, when when the why is big enough, the how becomes easy, right? Mm-hmm. The how is easy. So when I was sharing and I talked about a carrot, we talk about the carrot and the stick. People are motivated with either a carrot or, you know, they get whacked with a stick and it gets them going. I was like, man, what's my stick? And I think it really is just my mental space, where if I don't do what I intend to do, what is the outcome going to be? And I play that out. Mm-hmm. So that for me is a stick in itself, is do I want that reward or do I want the stick of, like, you know, not achieving something? Mm. So everyone, you know your why of why, whatever resolution goal you want to set, know your why. And then what is the carrot and the stick? If it's smoking, you know, play that out and see, you know, like for me, I want three under the bus, John, but it's like Alana, you know, like, think of it from, you know, you know, long-term thinking. And I know that's going to be his biggest motivation.
Uh-huh. I agree.
1,000%.
I agree.
It's my 2 cents.
No, that's really good. You know, I really love how you talk about the stick and playing it forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, something that a lot of people don't have the, I kind of think it that requires a lot of self-discipline to be honest with yourself about what the outcome is. So I know for me, when I'm thinking about, I will be somebody who is more motivated by the stick than the carrot, like in general. Sometimes I'm definitely a carrot person, but in general, I'm a stick person.
Me too.
Meaning, you know, the consequences are gonna be more motivating to me than some kind of carrot or a treat, right? So I always play through, what is the stick gonna feel like? So for example, in terms of eating, right, or not working out, I think about how I feel when I don't work out. I think about the misery of that. And I can tell you something that I'm going to share this with you. It's really funny. I just shared this with your kids the other night, David. One of the things that I had to learn how to do is that, like, I'm naturally a night owl. I am by nature, which surprises a lot of people because I've completely shifted that. But it took me a long time to not be a night owl. And here's what I would do. When I would have to go to bed at night and I wasn't sleepy and I didn't want to go to bed, I would literally lay there and think about how I felt in the morning when you have to get up and how miserable that is. Mm-hmm. So I would lay there and play it through in my mind. And I was young, and I would play through in my mind, oh, I need to go to sleep, because otherwise I know what it feels like in the morning when, you know, the alarm goes off and I don't want to get out of bed. What is that feeling? And that is the thing that would keep me in bed to try to go to sleep, mm-hmm. to change my sleeping habits. So I think that that's a really powerful tool, and I didn't really realize what I was doing until I was having a conversation with your kids about it. Because, you know, we're on Christmas break, and you know how it is. Like, we're up late, and if your nature is to be a night owl, then, because you should see our house at 11 o'clock at night, it's hilarious. It's like going off. It's like there's so much energy happening. Because everybody is naturally night owls. Most of us are anyway. Yeah. And so it's hilarious. We're doing cartwheels and stuff in my bedroom at 11 o'clock at night with a 5-year-old. That's not normal. <I don't think>. So, you know, you do have to change your, you do have to change maybe even your genetic makeup, you know, because obviously that's Trinity's, that's her makeup. Her mm-hmm. physical makeup is to just be a night owl.
Yeah.
So she has to train her body to do something different. It's not easy. Yeah. So.
Awesome.
All right. Any other takeaways that anybody would give?
I think a takeaway that I have is that, you know, for me, the word resolve, it kind of feels like to use Frank's analogy of the burrito off the truck in mm-hmm. the morning. It's like, you know, I've spent 10 years waking up. I wake up hungry and I want to go have that burrito because I like it. And I'm resolving that tomorrow morning I'm not going to want that.
Mm, and that's ridiculous.
And then I'm going to fight myself all day long mm-hmm. to actually live into this new resolve that I've created for myself. And I think it's okay to resolve to actually work through it. Mm. And that's what, to me, SMART goals feels like. It's like I'm making a resolution to hit this SMART goal, and I'm making a plan to make it happen day by day. So, like, Josh and I worked through this a while back about cigarettes, and it was – he was looking at it saying he was smoking like 40 cigarettes a day, almost 2 packs a day, I think, mm-hmm. is where he was. And we basically said, look, every week you smoke one less cigarette. One mm-hmm. – like mm-hmm. next week you're going to smoke 39 cigarettes yeah. a day. That's it.
Yep.
And he and I, we literally just talked about this the other day, but – because I was like, what happened with that? And where I believe he ended up hitting a wall is he got down to like 5 cigarettes a day. And then he started saying, I'm going to break them in half and I'm going to smoke 10 times today, but I'm still going to only smoke my 5 cigarettes. And it threw off his whole rhythm. He went backwards. He was still smoking less cigarettes, but the habit got broken of cutting it out. And he went back and but I truly believe that if he was to do that again, or if you were to maybe take something like that on, because Josh was like, I'm going to smoke one less cigarette a day. I'm like, okay, that gives you 40 days to quit smoking entirely. Why don't we look at one a week?
That's great.
Just go 38 cigarettes all this week. And then next week, 37 cigarettes.
Yeah, it's really good. Really,
you know, give yourself 40 weeks to quit smoking.
Yeah.
Before we leave, I wanted to say this is totally random, but it got me thinking about like food and people who struggle with food. And I just know everybody does because I do too, even. But
of course,
if you're struggling with food, like you said, that burrito, you're just gonna fight yourself to because you want the burrito. Right. Like, I get it. I love burritos, but don't eat the whole thing. Just focus on portions. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I always like to tell people. Portion. Like have half the burrito. Give yourself
week, I'm gonna eat a half a burrito.
Half a burrito, and then share the other. Like give the other half away, so you do not go back to it and eat it. You know, but portions. Like if you're gonna go out to, if you're fighting yourself to not go to McDonald's. Like just go to McDonald's. Don't get fries one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like make a better decision. Still do it, and then little by little, you know, just better and better.
I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but one thing when it comes to food, like I've lost quite a bit of weight the last part of the year, and I'm under 250 for the first time in like a long time. It's and one thing that you said, David, about a year and a half ago, almost probably, is that you just have to be okay being uncomfortable. And that's one of those things whenever I start feeling hungry and I want to eat and I'm like, nope, I'm going to push it through till 4 o'clock today because I do intermittent fasting now. And so I'm just going to be hungry for the next 2 hours, okay, and I'm going to be okay with it. I'll drink some water and be uncomfortable for an hour, and then I'll go eat.
Exactly.
You know? And so being okay being uncomfortable also is part of it.
Such a mindset.
Yeah.
Such a mindset. Like, I'm going to be uncomfortable, and I accept that. I choose uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking, like, what Christian was referring to and in relation to John. And so me and the family, we set some goals together. We've been going to the gym, going walking. It's something that we do together. But besides that, I just think about like my kids. Like, what am I doing that's a bad influence on my kids? Like for me, setting goals or resolutions and not keeping them, that's a bad influence on my kids. That's a bad example to set.
Yeah, that's not integrity.
Right. And I think a lot of our kids, they follow what we do.
100%.
And for me, that's a bigger picture, like beyond me. I have my kids, so we've got them enrolled in some habit changes and, you know, going to the gym, spending time together. Like that was the biggest takeaway for me. It's like the resolution, or the goals, they're not just about me. They affect everybody around me, what they see, my kids, probably my kids' kids. That, for me, is a big takeaway from this.
So true, dude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oscar?
Yeah, that's kind of where I was too, that like for everybody here at this table specifically, right, and for anybody else that's in leadership, everybody is affected by what you do, what you say, how you dress. Everything about us, right, is looked upon. And so if you're out there wondering why it is that your relationships suck, right, people aren't, you know, people want people to look at them and follow them and do those types of things. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're not setting the goals that you're supposed to be setting.
Yeah.
How can you expect someone else to do that?
Yeah.
Right.
How can you hold them accountable, right? Because they don't say it, but what happens is they drift away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're wondering, like, man, what the hell happened? Mm-hmm. Right? Where'd everybody go?
They're watching.
So that's, for me, that's the big thing is be your word, right? Be in integrity always and be congruent with what you're saying, because you can say, you can talk the talk, but if you're not doing it, people see it. It's clear as day.
100%. So,
And then last thing is celebrate those little wins.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Always celebrate, because every goal, there's different things that have to happen. We talk about goals and commitments. So to achieve a goal, there's 10 commitments you have to make.
Right.
And there's 50 things that have to get done that are small to get to achieve that goal. But when you achieve those things, man, right, because you're now 50% there.
Exactly.
But we lose sight of that because we think it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, I didn't do it. But then, like you said earlier, right, it's like when you go back, it's like, oh, shit, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. Progress.
Yes.
It's an interesting thing because if I look back at my goal to have my financial fitness class outline done, that wasn't a smart goal because I didn't get my certification until the 10th of December. So what would make me think, you know, it wasn't very smart. It wasn't a smart goal. And I didn't break it down like that. I just was like, I'm going to do this. So, you know, even setting smart goals is a habit that you have to set. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, because you had a bunch of anxiety around it.
I did.
You had all sorts of anxiety. Like, oh, my God, I haven't got this done still.
Uh-huh. That's exactly
That's
right.
That's another great point is when you don't have goals, right, you live in anxiety.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're like, you had this thought of I'm going to do this. And immediately, right? You're like stressed out.
Yeah.
So true. Good. Such a good point.
Conversation for next podcast.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Last thing I wanted to share is for those that are listening, like if you're a club member or not a club member, I'd want for you guys to reach out to all of us, like find us on Facebook or Instagram and share with us maybe some of your goals or some of the habits that you've been able to achieve. Just so, you know, we're all looking to grow as well. And we'd love to connect with you guys too.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Awesome. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we are NWAC Leadership and we are flipping off.
Peace.
Bye.
I'm Melina Boswell, your host of the Flippin' Off podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we'd love for you to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and tell your friends all about us. You can find more episodes of the Flippin' Off podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you like to listen to awesome podcasts like this. If you like what you've heard, we'd really appreciate it if you'd follow us on Facebook and Instagram and tell us the stories that you'd like to hear. Tim Jackson is our senior producer. Luke Jackson is our editor. Brothers. Josh Maldin is our producer. Sound design by Frequency Factory. Our executive producer is Mind and Mill. This was all created by Dave Boswell for New Wealth Advisors Club.